welcome to Prayer Faith today. Let's start out early. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice in
it. Man, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That ought to be our attitude every day. Amen? But then our feet hit the floor and it gets hard sometimes. And I know that stuff. Vacation. Guys, I'm telling you, it was amazing. It was amazing. Log cabin, rivers, fall leaves, colors. It was just an incredible time with my wife and my mother who turns 90 next month. I'm going to tell off on her getting in the hot tub, though. She said, it's best if you don't look while I try and get in and out of this thing. But man, we had an amazing time enjoying God's beauty. And at times we would just drive in silence and go. And Cindy said, it's still going. And it's still going. And it's still happening. Oh my goodness, look. My mom would say, what? She said, it's still there. Driving and driving and seeing God's beauty everywhere. So I asked Cindy and my mom, I said, hey, when we get back, do you think we will be able to recognize God's beauty in our own home, our own hometown, our own state? Because, man, when God is doing great and amazing things in the midst of a conference, in the midst of a church service, whatever, is He still doing great and amazing things when we get back to our house? Is He still doing amazing things when we go back to our job? Is He still moving in those places? Now, I trust from my message 2 weeks ago when we had the eye washing, that you guys are seeing differently and better and clearer in recognizing the living God in front of you. Right? Okay. So I said in my mind, I'm going to look and recognize God's wondrous works when I get home. And I will purpose it in my heart. You know, that's a biblical phrase. And purpose it in your heart. And I thought, oh, I'm going to do that. And then we landed. We dropped off. My mom said, let's go to Waffle House. Now, I love Waffle House. And I love when I walk in there and the lady says, oh, do you want your regular? Yes, please. Here comes my drink and my food. 3 minutes later, and I'm rolling. 5 minutes later, and we haven't been acknowledged. And then someone says, I'll be right with you. Okay. 5 minutes later. I'm sorry, I'll be right with you. Man, we heard that 5 minutes ago, which was 5 minutes after we got here. And all of a sudden, that ninth fruit of the Spirit, patience, is starting to boil up in me. And when I say boil up, I'm not fuming mad, but it's starting to get to me. I'm like, let's just walk out of here. That group of six that just got here 5 minutes after we did, they're already getting their drinks. She hasn't even taken our drink order. I'm thinking, I probably said it. Oh, Cindy's laughing at this. But I'm just telling you where we are. Finally, she comes over. Can I get you a drink? Yes. High C fruit punch, no ice, cup to go, please. Okay, do you want your food? No, just a drink, because I know I'm going to get it and take it with me, because I love your high C fruit punch. 5 minutes later, Cindy says, is she getting her drinks? I said, no. No, she's not. Oh, this fruit of the Spirit thing, man. Am I okay being on somebody's time frame that isn't my own? Oh, Lord, no, please, we've had this beautiful trip. Don't let this be the thing that ruins it. Finally, she brings our drinks, takes our order. 5 minutes later, Cindy said, has she placed order? Said, no, I didn't hear her say, pull one chicken, double hash brown scrambled eggs. I didn't hear any of that. And then I hear her quietly say it way down there 5 minutes later. I thought, oh, come on. And God's an amazing God. As I struggle with my patience, she came up. She said, hey, did I tell y'all this is my Friday? And I thought, who cares? Where's my Friday? I didn't say that. I'm just saying, yay. I said, good for you. That's awesome. She said, tomorrow's my birthday. Oh, happy birthday. I'm going to spend it with my mom. First time I've seen my mom in 5 years. Oh, that's awesome. Does your mom live away, or is she coming to visit? Are you going to visit her? She said, no, she lives here in town. She said, I've been 8 months sober and 8 months clean. And it's the first time in 5 years my mom trusts me enough that she's going to come see me and allow me to see her. And I thought, in the midst of this patience that I'm struggling with to get double hash browns, I love their hash browns, and I failed to recognize God's wondrous works, that He took a broken person and has healed her and has allowed her to stay sober and clean for 8 months and allowed her to see her mother for the first time in 5 years. That's our problem. This, the flesh. I was so proud. I'd recognize God's wonders. Yeah, oh, the trees will be beautiful. Oh, my God, I forgot His people. I forgot His people. I wasn't as great as you were, Aaron, in the airport either. I wasn't offering to pray for people. Now, I didn't see a lot of people in the Portland, Maine airport. But that last stretch of our flight from Dallas to here, it's a 40-minute flight. My Lord, there's a young child, and I love hearing sounds here, but this young child. See, that I can live with. That I love. But this young child, the whole flight. So what did I do being the man of God that I am? I pulled out my recorder and said, let's record this crazy action. Just the sounds. That's all. Listen to this thing go. It was an older child, exhausted. Just out of their mind with exhaustion and screaming and crying and yelling the whole time. I failed to recognize His wondrous works and fellow man. Way to go, Pastor. So, oh, confession is good for the soul. I don't feel that great. But my pathetic attitude in Waffle House immediately changed. I said, congratulations. We are so proud of you for being sober and clean. And happy birthday. Hope you enjoy your time with your mom. Turn to Psalm 78, if you would. We're going to look at Adam, me, in here. See where I struggled. And the psalmist David is writing. He's talking about God's kindness to rebellious Israel. In Psalm 78, verse 4 through 8. It says this, we will not hide them from their children. He's talking about, in the first three verses, he just says, hey, listen to my law, spread my law around, tell parables. And they said, oh, we will not hide them from their children, telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Oh, man, it sounds great. We're going to tell our future generation. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born. Now they're talking about the generation that hasn't even been born yet. Man, we're talking about the generation, our children, the children to come, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. And they said, man, we're not going to be like that. We're not going to raise our children like that. and our children's children. We're not going to raise them to be like that. Great intentions put forth. Great intentions. Hey, Cindy, when we get home, I'm going to recognize God's wondrous works all around us in the state of Oklahoma, in Oklahoma City, in Choctaw, in our own home, in our yard. And I stumbled at an eating establishment. Great intentions. Oh, I won't forget. No. No. Oh, fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. La, 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 la. Oh, and the last one, patience. Sorry, patience is not the ninth one. That's self-control. I don't know where I got off on that one, but patience. I know them. But how quickly I forgot them. I didn't forget them. They didn't come to the front of my actions. Now verse 9 through 16. Here goes Adam. Then the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zion. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Man, just before they had all these great intentions. We're going to do this and teach our children and their children. And everybody will know this. And all of a sudden they turned away. They refused to walk in His way. And they forgot His words. The psalmist even gave examples of His wondrous works. He divided the sea. He led them with a cloud in the day, fire at night. Split the rocks, gave them water. By the way, He also gave them manna, gave them food. How quickly they forgot and turned away. Now skip over to verse 32. It's all the great things God does. Psalm 78, verse 32. And then right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. In spite of this, all the good, wondrous works He did, they still sinned. And did not believe His wondrous works. But listen to this. It says, therefore their days He consumed in futility and their years in fear. When He slew them, then they sought Him. Oh Lord, when we come up against something, then we might look for You. And they returned and sought earnestly for God. And then they remembered that God was their rock. And the Most High God, their Redeemer. Oh, man, then I remembered. After the lady told me about her recovery. Then I remembered God was my rock. But listen to this. In verse 36, nevertheless, they flattered God with their mouths, and they lied to God with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast on God or with God, nor were they faithful in God's covenant. But God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, forgave their sin, and did not destroy them. Well, that tells us He had the ability to destroy them. But he forgave them. And he chose to show compassion on them. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away. Many times he turned his anger away. And he did not stir up all his wrath. Boy, I don't want to know that. I do not want to know all his wrath. But it says he turned it away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh. Oh, thank you, Lord. A breath that passes away and does not come again. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be remembered as a cranky old man. I don't want to be remembered as that Christian who couldn't follow his own faith. I don't want to be known as a faithless man. I thought, God, you've got to, again, get that burning inside of my heart. Not just to be a good person, but to be a light and a beacon and the aroma of Christ. In spite of all his wondrous works, they still sinned. They did not, it said, that they spent their years in futility. Where was that? Verse 33. Therefore their days God consumed in futility, and their years in fear. I don't want to live in fear. There's a lot going on around us. I don't want to live in that. And I thought, I don't want to be a part of a godless world. And God forbid some of those things happening around us take me. But at least I'm with God when I go. They did not enter the land of Canaan, and they spent their days consumed in futility and fear. In verse 33. And I thought, we cannot, church. We cannot, as believers, as Christ followers, as disciples, Christ ambassadors, the aroma of Christ, Christians, saved, redeemed, righteous. I can go on and put labels on us. But we cannot, whatever we want to call ourselves, flatter him with our mouth, lie to him with our tongue, be unsteadfast in our heart with him, and be unfaithful in his covenant. We must choose to open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our souls, open these things up to him, and then choose to walk in his word. It is tough. That means while waiting for chicken, double hash browns, and scrambled eggs, I may have to be more patient than I expected to be or anticipated to be. You see, it may be about her celebrating how clean she is and sober she is. And celebrating the fact that she's going to have a birthday. Oh, by the way, celebrating that birthday with her mother, who wouldn't allow herself to see her for 5 years because of her addictions and her struggles. It may be about more than you and I. You see, it may be about somebody else. And that's why God says, hey, Christ follower. Oh, let's see, his ambassador. Oh, you're a student of mine. Disciple. Oh, when you go places, You have the aroma of Christ. Well, I'm going to choose you to be a light and a beacon. And by the way, you may have to be a little different during certain situations where the ungodly lose their minds. And they get out of control. There's that nice one. Self-control. Losing that. You see, if we want to experience the living God, we may just have to act differently so that we can be the living God to other people. Through our actions, through our words, through our lack of actions, not getting upset. Through our lack of words, not screaming and yelling and belittling somebody. Flip over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And David, you know, as he was talking or as he was writing this, in the end said, God chose this group because of their actions. And he didn't choose that group. And he chose this place to be and not that place. And then he chose David to lead and not these others. David wasn't without fault. He wasn't perfect. I'm not at all comparing myself to David. I'm just saying, I'm not perfect. That's why every now and then I share those honest struggles that I have, whether it be at Waffle House or whatever. Because it's so easy to say, man, I'm going to go home and I'm going to see His wondrous works everywhere. Oh, crud. 5 miles out of the airport, I struggled at the Waffle House. Luckily, she opened her mouth long before I did and told us about her good news. Which brought me back to reality to say, let's celebrate her good news. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Amen indeed. Church, no matter where we have been, no matter what we have done, wherever sin is, grace is there more. He has so much more grace for the sinner. I wasn't going to go there, but I decided to go there anyway in Romans chapter 6, just a little bit further from that. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. You know, I've talked to people before that said, hey, we're forgiven. We can do whatever, and God forgives us. Oh, my. A little bit of the wrong attitude to just say, hey, let's just go on and sin, and then say, oh, God, you will forgive us. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. But let's listen why. How shall we who died to sin, when we accepted Christ, we died to sin, live any longer in it? I accepted Christ, I died to sin. So how can I just keep pressing on there? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Maybe we just don't know. Maybe nobody's told us. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We don't have to walk in the old ways. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this. Now listen up. That our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We don't have to be slaves to that anymore, and chained and shackled to that sin anymore. For he who has died has been, not maybe, but has been, freed from sin. That young lady broke a cycle, and she broke chains. She is going through a process of restoration and reconnection, and is being renewed through her new ways. And yet some of us keep going back to our old ways. Where is that waitress? Where is our drink? Oh Lord, a drink? I see fruit punch is more important than just being patient. I'm sitting there with my wife. For God's sakes, I love her. She's beautiful. Enjoy the time. In reality, it was probably like 2 or 3 minutes. No, it was a long time. But sometimes it is 2 or 3 minutes. We go, oh my God, I've been here 10 minutes. No, I've got my timer on. Whoops, that's probably something I should quit doing. It's been 2 minutes. So, but this was a long time. But we go back to our old ways, our old self. Or we forget, oh, man, we've got a newness. Oh my gosh, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Woo! Peace, joy, kindness, patience, all these different things that we have in us. I've got some stuff out in the garage. Guess where it is? It's buried way down below this other pile of stuff on top of it. So sometimes I just can't quite get to it. That fruit of the Spirit is the same thing. It's in there somewhere. I just got to go back and find it. And I've got to reorganize and reprioritize where that needs to be in my life. First aid kit doesn't need to be the first thing you put in the corner of a room and then fill it up with 1,000 boxes on top in front of it. You have to prioritize where those things go. I'm going to close with a story. A handful of years back, at Falls Creek, there was a guy named Tiny. Do you think he was tiny? No. He was a large guy. And he said, I've been on this diet. And I was trying to hold to this and I was doing well. And then my mom came in. He said, my mama makes the best chicken wings. Josh, we said we're going with chicken wings, right? Okay, chicken wings. It's chicken wings. Whatever it was. My mama makes the best chicken wings. She said, Tiny, go ahead and have it. Oh, they're delicious. I did this. I made them just for you. He said, I went over there. I looked at them. Oh, I smelled them. Oh, and I picked it up. And he said, I put it down. He said, you know, I almost ruined my diet over a chicken wing. I almost lost my fruit of the Spirit, patience, over chicken plates, scrambled eggs, double hash browns. You see, there's just this one thing sometimes that we say, I'm going to trade that for this. I'm going to give up my patience for this. I'm going to give up. And Tiny said, that's like our salvation. Or that's like sin. Just saying, well, just once. Well, it was just because she took so long to get our order and come acknowledge us and then bring us our drink and then bring us our food. How many restaurants have you gone in recently that just say, hey, short-staffed? may take a little extra time. We saw that on vacation. Please be patient. It's fine doing it on vacation. How about God's wondrous works? But I come back to Oklahoma and, where is this ugly place? I don't know. It's not an ugly place. It's a beautiful place with beautiful people. But we have to remain vigilant against the enemy. Amen? We have to be thankful for His amazing grace, but not say, oh my goodness, because His grace abounds, we can just continue in sin. Let's bow our heads today. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the Word today. Lord, we know that David, as he wrote the psalm, was thinking about the struggles of the Israelites, their rebellious ways in writing about their good intentions, and then writing about the reality of what really happened when they turned back, refused to walk, forgot His works. God, I know we have good intentions. We have good intentions right now, possibly. But an hour from now, as we're heading home, as we're at home, as we're out to eat, we may forget about our intentions. Lord, I ask today that You help us in our times of struggle to remember that we are Your disciples. We are Your ambassadors. We are the aroma of You. We are followers of You. God, we are Yours. Lord, today I pray that those that struggle with sin, just in their own seat, ask for strength to overcome that, and ask for forgiveness for that sin. And Your grace abounds in us and in our sin. But we do not live in it and stay in it. Lord, help us to become light and salt to those we come in contact with. But Lord, let us be steadfast in our faithfulness to You, not lying to You with our mouths and our tongues, but being intentional to follow You, to obey You, to recognize Your wondrous works, to understand that we are Your wondrous works. Lord, we ask those things in Your Son's name.